And let us stand together as we continue praising the Lord. Six 88 is the number for the hymn we are singing. Everyone has it. Let us sing it together. When our wild dreams and trials are over, and I'm safe from that beautiful show, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages bring glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory, glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace I am accorded to heaven a place, just to be there, look on His face. Great glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace look on His face. That will be glory, be glory for me. Let's sing number 3. Friends will be there, I know long ago, joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know, will through the ages glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when is look on His face. That will be glory, be glory for me. Amen. Remain standing for prayer. And Father, tonight we thank You for the joy that we have to know that one day we will see Jesus face to face. And what a glorious day that will be. And Father, we pray tonight that You will bless him, the songs that they are sung, Lord, that You will be glorified and Your name will be lifted up. We pray, dear God, for those who cannot be with us tonight because of whatever reason. We just ask You to be with them, to give them Your joy, give them Your peace, that they will know the joy of being with us in church. Bless the singing, Lord, and bless the message tonight. May Your name be glorified. And Lord, to You we give all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll take the announcements at this time.
Amen. Okay, how's everyone tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, here. that's the main thing. Let us go to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So let's always count what God is doing for us. Just by way of announcements tonight, let us pray for the revival meetings next Sunday with Dr. Gilmore and Evangelist Paul Raines. Looking forward to meeting the young family, Paul Raines and his wife and their two sons. They have a 6-month-old boy and a 2.5-year-old boy. So two young boys, looking forward to meeting them next week. So invite some people out. Take some of these or take one of the 5-track packs that are in the rubber band and invite and give them to your neighbors, give them to your friends, give them to your coworkers. You'll be surprised by who shows up and who actually comes. You say, oh, I didn't think they'd come. Well, we never know. So let us do our part to invite and then trust God for the rest. And so we look forward to that. then each of the nights we'll have in special promotions each night, so you can win one of the books from the back, from the book table that Dr. Gilmore will have. Sunday is friend day and night. Those who bring the most friends in the morning and at night, they'll get a Christian book. Then Monday night is ladies' night. The lady with the most points will get a Christian book as well. Then Tuesday night is men's night. Men, it's our job to invite people. So the man that has the most points will get a Christian book. Then Wednesday night is teen and kid night. So invite some unchurched kids and teens. This is a great opportunity for you to, let's say Armani brings Alyssa in next, this coming Wednesday, she'd have points for Alyssa because she's an unchurched teen, okay? So, and you'll receive a new Bible. Whoever brings the most visitors will receive a new Bible. Then Thursday night is family and pizza night. Whoever brings in the most people gets the prize on Thursday night. So let's look forward to doing those things to help get people in to hear the sound of the gospel and the Bible messages. All right, and are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Any other announcements? Praise the Lord for Armani getting baptized today. We have a cake. Lydia made a little cake in there in the other room tonight if you want to have a piece. And we also have a prayer letter. The Bruner family prayer letter, so we'll pass this out. I guess we'll do it afterward. Yes, we can have some of the young guys pass this out. That'd be great. Okay, this is the Bruner's new prayer letter that came in. All right, this time, are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Okay, yes, you can pass them out. All right, pray for Mike and Nancy Joyce, they are away today visiting relative. Pastor Logan's down in Virginia. Who else are we missing today? Danny Rivera, I talked to him today. He's working on his house. He's going to Florida tomorrow. His aunt is coming in from Ecuador. He hasn't seen her for 25 years, so he's grabbing a $25 flight on Spirit Airlines to go down to Florida for 2 days. So pray for Danny. He wants to get some Bibles for them in Spanish. We have Spanish Bibles in our bookstore. So pray for Danny and the family as he finishes the house and as they all move in together. And pray for his needs. Pray for needs that they have for the home. All right. Any other announcements? Anyone? Okay. Let us at this time ask for ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money about to feed. Dear Lord, Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Turn back to our hymn books, to hymn number 690. Sing first, second, and last verses. Just three verses it has anyway. Let's sing the first and last verses. 690. One of those hymns we have not sung in a long time, so let us sing it tonight with all our might. 690. And there's a land that is fairer than this. And by faith we can see it afar. Far away, so far away, to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing it. In the spring, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful show by and by in the street. By and by we shall meet on that beautiful show. Number three, to a bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise, the glorious gift of His love, and the blessing that hath in the street. By and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. By and by in the street, by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Praise the Lord for the fact that we have a blessed assurance that one day we're going to meet Him. How soon? We don't know, but it will happen sometime soon. So let us go right now into a testimony. And who would like to be first to share tonight a blessing from what you have received today or throughout the past week? Anyone would like to be first for the blessings from the past week or even today? Oh, go ahead, Carrie.
Well, I'm encouraged today by Armani and the decision to get baptized and to join the church. And sometimes it wants to attack and postpone or delay or whatever, but she decided to just to obey God, and she made the right choice, and I praise the Lord for that. And it's neat because the Bible is very specific, and when it talks about how much God expects out of us, He gives us things in detail, sometimes we miss it. So I've been thinking about how He speaks us in relation to salt and light, and both are small objects like that a light bulb, a little bit of salt, but it makes a powerful impact. So, you know, when we all do what we ought to be doing, we can make a big impact for Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Armani. Your turn.
Well, today was just quick stuff. In the morning, I got baptized and I went to church. And then we went out to eat. And then I got my nails up. And then I got a gift from Holly.
Wow. Good job, Holly.
So I'm just thankful for a great family, a great church family.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. All
this
right.
This is an answer prayer. Praise the Lord for your soul, right? But what happened is, as he was drying the branch, got to his eye, but I'm thankful he was wearing his glasses.
Okay. So you had him on for safety. That's good. All right. Anyone else with a blessing from throughout today? Beside Armani and Rice? There were some of those who had blessings throughout the past week. I'm looking. Oh, on this side. Okay, come on.
As we were just singing the hymn, Sweet By and By, I couldn't help but think of two very special people that are now in heaven. And today is their birthday. And one is my dad. He would have been 100. He passed away 5 years ago, but praise God, in his early 90s, he did accept the Lord as his Savior. And the other birthday was my grandson, John, and he would have been 7 years old today. But praise God, just know they're both in heaven with the Lord.
Amen. Possible looking on you today, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else with a blessing from past day or past weeks or months or whatever?
We can read the prayer letter from the Bruners. Have maybe one reader read the front half and then one on the back half.
Like to have some volunteer for this reading? Any volunteers for the reading for Bruno's letter? I think that they've already given up.
Oh, yeah, they were already given up.
What we can do, let them read them individually. Because we just about over the time for you to teach a message for tonight. We don't want to steal any of your lessons from tonight's message. All right, so let's do something and if it's okay with Pastor Rice, to let each person read his own sheet.
Okay. Well, I wanted them to see a little bit what's going on because they, you know, we all go through similar trials. John can read it.
Okay, John, you have the mic up there, right? Okay, go ahead.
Dear prayer warriors, Kevin, I hollered as I ducked to get out of its way. It was our first night in the Philippines way back in 1995, and I had just encountered a huge flying cockroach. Later on that week, during our first visit to the Philippines, I went door-to-door soul-winning with a pastor's wife. As we strolled along looking for a contact, she all of a sudden spit. She had had good aim, too. In my heart, I asked the Lord, if I come here as a missionary, do I need to learn how to spit? All throughout that week, people would stare at us, stroke their noses, point, and say, what a beautiful nose you have. I have never had anyone compliment me on my nose, but in 1995, during our first week in the Philippines, I became very conscious of my nose. On our survey trip here in 1999, we were served coconut milk for our snack. It was horrible. Neither of us liked coconut to begin with, but this milk had the slimy coconut shavings in it. First of all, I like to drink my drinks and chew my food, so this snack violated a life principle of mine. Second of all, those slimy coconut shavings felt like worms slipping down my throat. We both prayed, Lord, help! We want to be missionaries here, and I can't offend these people. Memories. Cockroaches. I just killed one yesterday. Spitting. When we first moved here as missionaries, we had a spitter in the church. She would rise from her plastic chair during Sunday school, walk to the window, take aim, and spit. It would land 2 feet outside the window in the flower bed. Such talent. Beautiful noses. Coconut snacks of all sorts. It's best when Pastor Ben is with us when we are served coconut salad, because he gets a double portion. These were our first impressions and memories of life in the Philippines. Yet we love it here. We couldn't ask for a better life. It's fun to reflect on memories of years gone by, but one of our recent memories is 2018, best Christmas ever in the Philippines. We presented the Christmas drama musical twice, once at Calvary and once at Faith. Toward Joward came and sat on the front row. Praise the Lord. Keep praying for him. He's been on our prayer list for years and hasn't come back to the church since December, but the Lord is still working in his heart. On Christmas night, we were surprised to have our young people carol at our gate. We were sitting in the living room and heard beautiful singing outside. We went outside and listened to them for a while, then invited them inside. They brought snacks and we had a nice time of fellowship for about an hour. The next day, we began our annual youth trip retreat. We had about 35 young people because we invited another church to come along. It was a blessed time of developing Christian relationships. February 3rd was Calvary Baptist Church's 25th anniversary. The young people decorated the sanctuary beautifully. We had an overabundance of food. The unofficial attendance was 174. Praise the Lord. Our sanctuary is packed out. We even opened the side extension. Oni brought four of her neighbors. Marjorie brought four co-teachers. Jeremiah had four friends from school. Zazimo had two granddaughters come with them. During lunch, many of us were sharing the gospel with visitors. It was a day of great rejoicing and of remembering God's goodness over the past 25 years. Want me to continue or you want someone else?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
All right. Summer, April and May, is just around the corner, and we are planning to pack in a full schedule of memories. Please pray for our bodies, as we will need to adjust again to the extreme heat. We have been having 2 months of perfect weather, 75 degrees at night and barely 85 during the day. But the extreme heat is coming, so pray for us. The memories in the making are April 1st to the 5th, graduation week. We will attend the graduation ceremonies at the two public schools where we teach values education. We have two high school and 24 college graduates from church. April 8th to the 11th, 3 days of prayer, asking the Lord for his blessing on our summer activities. April 19th, annual Good Friday, all church trip to the ocean. We usually pack more than 100 people into 7 vehicles, have a baptism in the ocean, eat breakfast, swim, and play volleyball. It's an Easter memory. April 21st, Easter sunrise service at 5:30 a.m., breakfast at 7. April 22nd to the 25th, annual singles retreat. We are expecting about 70 young people from 7 churches. This year's theme is Future Events, Rapture, Judgment Seat of Christ, Tribulation, Millennium, Great White Throne Judgment in Heaven. April 30th and May 1st, Vacation Bible School at Calvary from 8:30 to 3:30. The children from Hope Elementary School have been asking about VBS since before Christmas. Pray for souls to be saved and lives to be changed. May 3rd to the 6th, Kevin preached the anniversary services on the island of Rambion. It's a 7-hour drive and then an 8-hour ferry trip to get to the city of Odenagan. And May 7th and 8th will be travel days back to Philippines. May 9th and 10th, all-day vacation Bible school at the Victorious Faith Baptist Church. May 13th, Philippine elections, so stay at home and pray for peace and safety. May 17th, evangelistic film showing at the basketball court at Hope Elementary School. May 20th and 21st, evangelistic film showing at Himoa. Continue to pray for a church plant. May 23rd, all-day soul winning at Himoa. May 24th to the 26th, Kevin preached for a missions conference just an hour south of us. May 27th to the 31st, rest. June 3rd to 2nd, Bible conference and counseling seminars in Manila. We will learn and get refreshed spiritually. June 7th, arrival of Kevin's niece. She and a girlfriend from college want to experience missionary life. We already have a list of foods they need to try. A mango shake is top on the list. We praise the Lord for memories. We praise the Lord for a mind and heart to treasure the time spent with friends and family. We praise the Lord for his calling on our lives and the opportunity to be missionaries here. Cockroaches spitting coconut milk, what a privilege to be your ambassadors here. Thank you for praying. Gratefully, Kevin and Mary Bruner.
Amen. Now we have seen what life is like back in the Philippines. And he's kind of volunteer someday to go to the Philippines for a trip and spend a week with them. This time, Pastor Rice. Your turn.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 16 tonight. So how many complain about the... of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now there's an interesting note about who this Baal is. Okay, this is his father, Ahab's father, King Omri, had his son Ahab marry. Of course, Ahab was the one who wanted to do it. He married Jezebel, who was the daughter, you could say, the princess of the Zidonians. And what the greatest impact of Omri's dynasty was in the rebellion in worship. Omri's daughter-in-law was Jezebel. Jezebel's Baal was not the typical Canaanite Baal. Rather, he was Baal Melkhart, the king of the city, Tyre, the patron deity for more than half of the contemporaneous trade wealth of the Mediterranean. Ahab introduced this deity into Israel, creating a spiritual crisis. The next 50 years of Hebrew history and about 17 chapters of Kings are devoted to this crisis. It was the occasion for the miraculous ministries of Elijah and Elisha. So here we see, because of great wickedness in Israel, in King Ahab now taking a wife of the Zidonians, a very pagan group, okay, Tyre and Sidon. They were known, they were very strong at this point. They were called the Phoenicians, and they literally had trade routes all around the known world at this time, through ships and through caravans to the east, etc. And so the Phoenicians were so wealthy, and they had so much power because of all their trade and their wealth, that literally now they, the Zidon, the king of Zidon said, "Hey, I want to ally with you, Omri, because you're pretty strong. You're northern Israel." They were in Samaria. Okay, so if we can imagine where this is on the map, we'll paint it for you. And so he had, he allied himself with the northern 10 tribes because of their strength as well. Okay, so here is the Mediterranean Sea here. Okay, they have Italy over here, and you have Asia Minor up here, Turkey, modern-day Turkey. You have the northern 10 tribes, and then you have Judah down here, the southern 2 tribes. And then you have, right up here, you have Phoenicia. We have Tyre and Sidon. And they had trade routes going all over in the, all over Europe there. They had caravans coming all over into the Middle East, and into Assyria, all over into China. Okay, so the Phoenicians were very powerful, and they said, "We want Israel to be our allies as well." And so this is how they did it. What did this bring? It says in verse 32, okay, verse 32, 1 Kings 16, 32, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." So here he made a grove, an Ashtoreth grove, which is the female goddess, along with Baal, the male god. Well, Ashtoreth was the female fertility goddess. And as we looked into the archaeology a couple years ago, I'll have to bring those pictures out. Again, David Cloud's archaeology study, John, it's on that computer somewhere. But we're going to have to bring the pictures out of the different things that they found. Sure enough, they found Jezebel's, the god that she worshipped, this fake woman looking out a window. You know, that's the, that was Ashtoreth. And so all the women would worship this goddess Ashtoreth, and they would put on makeup, and they would dress themselves all pretty to commit immorality and to do wicked things, and the men would do the same. And Ahab brought all this into Israel. And do we see that today, right? We see young people, especially millennials, worshiping themselves and saying, "Oh, we can be free to do what we want, and we'll just have a relationship over here, and if that doesn't work out, we'll move in, then we'll break up, and then we'll move out. And we'll go to the next relationship. We'll move in, break up, and move out." And they keep going on as if marriage is not real, and that as if their relationships are not really real, almost like animals. You know, an animal doesn't know what it's doing. It just has babies and keeps moving on. Well, that's not what happens here. God gave us as humans a brain to say, "Hey, I want to be committed to one person for all my life," right? And that's the way it should be. "Till death do us part." That's what the marriage vows say. And so by skipping marriage and just shacking up, so to speak, and doing those things, they're just really worshiping themselves. Okay, so young people, do not follow that whole line. It leads to terrible problems. STDs, all kinds of diseases come through living those lifestyles, along with other sad things like children out of wedlock, and then having to, you know, "Oh, my deadbeat former boyfriend, he's not paying up for child support," and this and that and the other thing. Who wants to have to go through a life like that? Okay, that's not what God designed. God designed us to stay in His will, and He can bring the right person along, and to have a commitment. There needs to be that commitment there in marriage, where you say, "I will stay with you," because God has brought us together. I like what I heard one preacher said. Okay, ladies, if you get a man through your looks and through dressing immodestly, well, what you get him with, you also have to keep him with. If you get him through your looks and dressing immodestly and lustfully, guess what? After a little while, he's going to look for another lady who dresses even more immodestly and even more lustfully. And so it doesn't really work that way. But if you get a young man through character, through your face, and through your inward beauty, which God says, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, what is beautiful? All the lifetime of a lady. What is beautiful and keeps her beautiful all of her life? Let's find out. 2 Peter chapter number 3, I believe. Is it 1 Peter? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3. What can keep a lady beautiful her whole life? verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Okay, the best way that you can win your husband who may not be saved or may be away from the Lord is through your conduct, through the way you act, not necessarily what you say. Verse 2, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear," that you're fearing God and keeping His principles. Verse 3, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So what keeps a woman beautiful, a Christian woman beautiful her whole life, is that inward, meek, and quiet spirit. That beautiful inward qualities of virtue and propriety and chasteness, not going along with what the immoral ladies or young ladies are doing, or the older ladies, whatever they're doing on TV. You're saying, nope, don't want any part of that. That's what keeps you beautiful. If you give yourself away by your body, people are going to say, oh, that person, they're not worth my time, because they're trying to give themselves away through their body instead of through your spirit and through your face. You know, all of our clothing should attract attention to where? To our figure? No, to our face. We should be modestly clothed. Notice here, verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair. God's not saying, okay, don't do your hair, don't wear a gold necklace, or don't put on nice clothes. No, he's saying that shouldn't be first and foremost in your life. That should not be the priority. What should be the priority is every day the hidden man of the heart, the meek and quiet spirit, and the modest adorning of ladies. There's a verse that talks about modesty, that our clothing be modest, okay? And that's, you know what? You're going to stand out in the world. You are really going to stand out. Whereas other ladies, they don't care how they dress, and they dress to fit their figure and all this, and just to get a guy and all this, and when that guy leaves, and another one comes in, and you know, they're a dime a dozen. But a young lady who dresses modestly in a way to bring attention to her face and carries herself in a way that is Christ-like, you know what? That's the kind that a man will say, whoa, I got to watch her. Oh, I want to talk to her. Hey, I want to keep an eye on her, and I want to pursue her. That's the kind of lady that a good Christian guy is looking for. Okay, they don't want the ones that are trying to get attention the wrong way. When I met Carrie, it wasn't her body that I was attracted to. I was attracted to her face, her spirit. Okay, she dressed modestly. She was wearing a skirt and all those things. And she was, we were at Bible college together, and she was a cheerful person, a person who I could tell was loved the Lord, and that's what attracted me to her. And you know what? That kind of relationship will last because it's based upon character, not upon lust. Relationships that are based upon lust, oh, I liked you because you, the way you look. Well, what happens when you get older and your body changes a bit? You know, it happens to every man and every woman. As we get older, our body changes. Well, what's going to happen then if he just is with you because of the way you look? Okay, so this is why we have to do it God's way so that we can be blessed. Well, so here, the Israelites were very vain at this point because of the character of King Ahab. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 16. That here we see Ahab brought much debauchery and wickedness, and Jezebel brought much wickedness into Israel, and she ended up killing the prophets of God in chapter number 16, or I'm sorry, we're in chapter 17. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, saying to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the Lord, word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Okay, and then God provided a widow of Zarephath to provide for him. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Here she had her faith was tested. She could make a cake for her and her son to at least get them by, get them a bigger meal, or make one first for him, and then hope there will be enough left for them to survive. What's she going to do? She went into her house and she said, okay, this is what the prophet said, boys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to make it first for him. And they all watched as she gathered the flour and the meal and put it together and baked it in the under the fire, and they brought it out first, and perhaps the kids were eyeing that cake as they brought it to Elijah, and then they went back and looked, and there was still enough for them. So they made theirs, and then they went and looked a little bit later, and guess what they found in the pitchers, in the cruse of oil, in the bin of flour? What'd they find? More! There was still more in there. He said, wait a second, we took out, and there's still more. Because God provides. Here we see prayer principle number one is God supplies our every need. God supplies our every need. So as we think about praying and asking Him to do something great in our lives, we need to remember God does supply every need that we have. We don't need to look to people or to things to supply our needs. We need to look to God first and foremost. And so then He raised up the woman's son, raised him back to life, and then in chapter 18, came to pass after many days, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was the governor of his house, okay, and Obadiah hid 150 prophets of the Lord, took 100 prophets and kept them alive, because Jezebel went and killed hundreds of prophets. She killed many of God's prophets. Why? Because she brought in the prophets of Baal and Asherah. She brought in these wicked prophets that were lustful and did debaucherous things and led the people in false worship of this lustful deity that did horrible things. And here she killed some of God's own prophets. So Obadiah, which was Ahab's one of Ahab's trusted men, kept 100 of them alive in a cave with bread and water. And so Elijah met him in verse 7, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go and tell my Lord, thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what, have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. So Ahab, during this 3 years, 3.5 years, he's been sending his men every which way, all over Israel, scouring Israel for Elijah, so that he can kill him. And he was not able to find him. Why? Because we have a prayer answering God. Here we see number two, God hid Elijah. God knows our needs. He knows that we want to stay alive. He wants to provide our health needs. Whatever health needs you have tonight, you say, well, I wish I could serve the Lord more, but I've got this health problem. I wish I could do more for God, but I've got this affliction and thorn in the flesh, and you know, I just can't. Well, does not God know what our limitations are as well as what our health problems are? He does. So we need to realize, wait, He could totally heal us from this, but He's allowed us to have it for a reason, and that is to stay close to Him and to keep mindful of His power and His working in our life. And so when we are troubled about it, we need to pray to Him. We need to say, Lord, I'm having trouble with this health problem. Would You please work in my body? Help me to have more energy, or help me to be able to invite people for the revival meetings. Help me to be able to do some more ministry so that I can serve You. And sure enough, the Lord will, He wants to give you a ministry among people. And sure enough, He gave this ministry to Elijah. He kept him alive. Okay, verse 13. Was it not told my Lord that, verse 12. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day. Verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah, you're the one who's bringing this drought upon the land and for 3.5 years, and it's all your fault, Elijah. What did God's man say? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Here we see, you know, we see that in America today. A lot of people, politicians, etc., they're all trying to, oh, we're having problems now in America, and they're all pointing to this, that, and the other reason. Oh, it's because of climate change we're having all these storms, and it's all the policies of previous administrations' fault, and we need to change this and that. You know, it's all a smokescreen trying to point the finger at other people. Whose blame is it that our country is not getting blessed like we used to? Whose fault is it? It's the sins of the nation. The sins of the nation is what is the problem. Sure enough, same thing back then in Elijah's day. Why was Israel not being blessed under Ahab and Jezebel? Because of the sins of the nation. The nation was allowing horrible, debaucherous things to go on. You know, when people and leaders in our society promote music videos of men and women who are not dressed modestly and say awful curse words and just do debaucherous things, it's no wonder that our young people are getting depraved. And then they go and attend these concerts and say, oh yeah, it's just lighthearted fun. No, it's not lighthearted fun. It's wicked sin. Anytime a woman takes off her clothes, that's wicked sin. That's pornography. That is ruining the culture and coarsening it. Anytime a man promotes those things, that's ruining the culture and destroying it from rotting it from within. And so we see in America today, the problem is not the climate. The problem is not the guns. The problem is the people and the sin in our nation. And so this is what happens in nations as they go downward. Okay, same thing has happened to every nation that has been powerful. As they have lost their power, they became corrupt. And they became sinful and debaucherous. Okay, and so here we see that this is the progression. Verse 19, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord, Jehovah, be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Okay, so here he called all the leaders of Israel, all the people up to Mount Carmel. And he says, "Okay, who are you going to serve? Jezebel and King Ahab's gods of Baal and their prophets over here? Or are you going to serve the Lord God who made heaven and earth? Which one are you going to serve?" And the people didn't answer anything. So Ahab, in verse 22, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And that the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Okay, we'll agree to that, Elijah. Whichever God lights the altar with all the stones on it, with the sacrifices of the bullock, and whichever God can bring down fire from heaven, will believe that God. They said, that sounds good. Verse 25, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made." Here we see many today in our culture are crying, "O Baal, hear us! We are worshiping you!" They call out to the devil. They call out to the gods of lust. They call out to the gods of the internet. They call out to the gods of sports stars. And they say, "Oh, we'll follow you. Just give us whatever we want. We'll follow you." And they follow all these people or vain imaginations, idols that they have set up. But then, in their time of need, they say, "Oh, please hear us. We're putting all our time into you, and we're putting all our time into this idol. Come on, hear us." And what happens? In their time of need, the cell phone or the internet or their friends that are unsaved, guess what? They're nowhere to be found. Or their sports stars who they are following with all their time, guess what? They're not able to help them. Their music stars, they're not able to help them. None of the things that people are worshiping are able to help them. Why? Because it's vain. It's just an idol set up. Verse 27, "It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking." You know, you got to cry louder, men. Cry louder. He is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Right. Come on, why you got to cry louder, because he's not, you know, he must be sleeping or he must be gone. You know, he must have taken a little vacation. Your God, Baal, you know, where is he? And that is the same thing. You know, it's sarcastic humor, but it's very sad that that's exactly what our nation is doing today. They're following Baal. They're following whatever the gods of their own imagination are at school, evolution. Oh, no, there's no God that made us. We're just in descendants from the monkeys and from every other living thing. And so we don't have a God, and we can just live like we want. Well, that's a God in themselves. Who have they made a God? They've made themselves the God. They've made themselves. They say, whatever I want to do, I will do. But think about that. In our time of need, what are we going to do for ourselves?
What can we do for ourselves? Can we deliver ourselves out of dire health emergencies? No. We're dependent on God. Can we deliver ourselves and when we're in a trouble, in a car accident, and we call on, we can't call on ourselves? We're already in the car accident. And so the folly of what the world is doing, they're following false gods that they have set up for themselves and themselves. And so that's why young people do not follow the gods of this world, because they are not real. When you, in your time of need, if you follow them, no one's going to answer. And you're not going to get any help. And the God who made you, the God who delights in you, He's not going to be able to protect you like He wants to. Why? Because you're not following Him in His will. That when the devil leads you out of the will of God, it's a very dangerous ground to be on. A missionary said, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. When we stay in the center of God's will, that is the safest place in the world to be. Why? Because that's where God is going to protect us, shield us, and shelter us. But when we go out and we start worshiping the devil's crowd and demonic things and whatever else in the world is worshiping, guess what? We're out of the safety net of God's protection because we're doing our own things. You know, so if you're out with your buddies that are unsaved and they're drinking and you get in the car with them and they're driving home and one of them is drunk and doesn't have the capacity to drive correctly, guess what? It doesn't matter that you're a child of God. You're in the wrong place and you're out of the will of God and in a very precarious situation. And if that person gets in a car accident, you could be one of the ones killed. Unfortunately, that has happened over the years. Here in Pleasantville, there was a bad accident where four people were in the car. Two of those kids were actually Christian kids, but they died as well because they went along with an unsaved person that was drunk. And so when we go out of the will of God and we say, oh, you know, I'll just follow the world and do it. Well, watch out, because now you're putting yourself out of the safety net of God's will. And so, sure enough, they cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner. This is what they would normally do to get the attention of Baal. They would cut themselves with knives, and they'd cut their arms, and they'd do self-harm. And anytime, you know where self-harm comes from? Always demonic activity. Okay? Anytime there's self-harm, when young people do bad things to themselves, guess where they get it? It's a demonic influence. And the devil is trying to get that child to do harm to themselves, or that adult to do harm to themselves. Self-harm is demonic in nature. That means you're dabbling in the devil's things. Okay? Stay as far away from that as possible. And so they said, well, we'll cut ourselves. They cut themselves after their manner with lancets and knives till the blood gushed out of them. They just found out this week that some men in the Philippines who did part of that Catholic ritual of self-flagellation where they... Remember we watched that video a couple years ago, the Bruners, or one of the missionaries going to the Philippines, and those men would go down the streets and they would whip themselves. And they would use these little razor blades and they'd cut themselves with surface cuts. Well, they all used the same instruments and they dipped them in this antiseptic solution. Then the next guy would use it. They found out all 10 of those men who were involved in that self-harm practice of pagan Catholic rituals of self-flagellation there in the Philippines, they all have this weird leukemia virus that's mutated. It's a mutated leukemia virus that they all contracted from using those blades and knives. Okay, so God, and now those men are going to die early because they were part of that practice. Okay, so we see this is not of God when self-harm is not of God. It is of the devil himself. Verse 29, and it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Okay, here now we're going into the late afternoon, from morning to late afternoon. Nobody's answering. Okay, they were getting tired. They were losing blood. They're passing out. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in the altar and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Here we see God answered prayer in a mighty way in the third, in this calling down fire from heaven. God is all-powerful today. He is still the same God who provided fire on that Mount Carmel. And He is the same God who wants to provide our needs today and save our loved ones and help our backslidden loved ones come back to Christ. He is the same God with all power in heaven and in earth. But we need to look back to Him as the God of all power. When we see God as just little and, well, He can't do much for me and I don't even want to bother to pray today because I don't have time. Well, guess what? Your view of God is skewered. You're not seeing the God of Elijah. You're seeing the God of your own making, which is a false God, which is an idolatrous little God that's not even real. So when we reduce God to our little view of Him, that is idolatry itself. And we've got to realize, no, we don't serve a little God. We serve the great God of Elijah, the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great God who made heaven and earth, the great God who wants to provide all our needs and who wants to change the hearts of our loved ones. We've got to get back in to serving God with our whole heart. We need to be Spirit-filled Christians that have the power of God if we want God to work in the people that we live around. We need to be sold out to God and fully surrendered to Him if we want Him to do great things. The way that we limit God is by allowing sin in our life. By saying, well, this is just a little sin. It's not a big deal. I'll just serve God 90% over here. It's just 10%. I'm not going to serve. Well, you keep back any little sin. Any little pet sin, pet addiction sin, pet time-wasting sin, not being in our Bible and praying sin, whatever sin it is, and guess what? He won't be able to be powerful in your life. He won't be able to move and work, and He won't be able to touch the people like He could if you were sold out to Him. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close tonight. As we see the God of Elijah. Where is the God of Elijah? He is here today. And He wants to do great and mighty things in our families. But He needs us to be sold out to Him. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Rice, you know, there's some things in my life that I've been tolerating, that I've allowed the devil to skewer my view of God, to make Him little when He is omnipotent. And I don't want that anymore. I want to get some sins taken care of. I want to let the Lord have first place in my life again so that He can be foremost in my thoughts. So I can pray to Him and that He can do great and mighty things in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you see it, and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God to do great things. I want Him to be the powerful, omnipotent Lord God in my life. And I want to be in prayer to Him this week. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. Amen, 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 amen. I see those hands. Amen. I want to spend time in prayer to God to get close to Him and to give Him the people in my life that I'm burdened for. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night. We thank You for the stark contrast tonight of the false gods of this world and standing against You, our great Jehovah God, who made heaven and earth, and Your Son Jesus, whom You sent to earth to die on the cross for our sins, and the Holy Spirit who lives within us, wanting to commune every day with us, and wanting us to pray as we should, but how often we don't listen. Lord, help us this week to even tonight, to confess any sins that is in our lives, Lord, that we may get it out, that we may get it under the blood, confessed, forsaken, so that You can move back in Your full power again in our lives and touch the people that we need touched in our lives. Lord, we pray that You would just do great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close tonight. Yes.
Can you close in prayer? I have a very urgent prayer request.
Okay.
And that's for my stepdaughter, Roy's daughter, who is having a very serious and very unusual, as far as I'm concerned, I've never heard of it, procedure done this week. As most of you know, she's in remission from cancer, which is a good thing, but the chemo and radiation have destroyed many parts of her body, and she's had to have a lot of 18 to be exact surgeries. Now her heart is wearing out. And one of the reasons it's wearing out is because it's malfunctioning. She goes to a cardiology practice where there's 12 cardiologists. Half of them call themselves the electricians, half of them call themselves the plumbers, because they deal with either the electrical side or the pumping side of the heart. On Thursday, she will be going in, and they will be sending a camera down her throat to take pictures because her heart is firing way too often. If you look at a picture of a normal heart, we see how the electrodes work and so on. But if you look at Donna's heart, it looks like fireworks. It's constantly firing, and it's wearing the heart out as well as the brain. And they have warned her that this has to be done. There's no choice because she's always tired. She's always winded. She's, of course, younger than I am. And so anyway, after they take the pictures, they'll know even more specifically what she's dealing with. So on Friday, she'll go back, and they'll go up through the groin area.